A life is worth the living just because he lives. Let's sing it one more time. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow, yes, because he lives. Well, all fear is gone, because I know he holds my future. Oh, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Let's give him a hand of praise tonight. Praise his name. Father, we thank you to be gathered once more in your presence. We trust that the Spirit of the Lord would be pleased with our gathering here tonight. We ask that you would just, Lord, come and just reveal and speak to our hearts through your word. May we draw closer to you. May we get understanding. The prophet told us that if revelation is beyond us, then to look up and ask you for it. So we pray, God, that you would just minister revelation to each and every heart tonight. We ask, oh God, that you would get the glory out of this gathering. Bless those that are here, those that are still on the way. Give traveling mercies to those that are unable to be with us tonight. Look upon them, and those that would join us online, God, just bless them as well. We trust, oh God, that your spirit will just be pleased with all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I'm going to try to use this mic here. Praise the Lord. If you could just turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 9. We will start reading here at verse 18 tonight, Hebrews 9. It says, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. Then we went back last week and just kind of showed that in the book of Exodus, I believe, where Moses took the blood. Once the people had come into covenant with God, they received the Ten Commandments. They come in covenant with God, and Moses took the blood, and he sprinkled the people as well as sprinkled the book, and just showing that the people were in covenant with God. We'll go a little deeper in that tonight, just kind of talk about various covenants, but all the way back from the book of Genesis, when first sin was committed, God required blood, amen. In order for people to come into his presence, it required the shedding of blood. And that's what we see here in the scripture. It says in verse 20, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. So again, Paul is bringing this out to us. Without the shedding of blood, then sins cannot be remitted, right? So without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that... It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood, with blood of others. For them must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So we want to, I'd like to just kind of go right into slide 11. That's where we stopped last week. And I actually, let me see here. I'm going to have you all turn to another scripture. We read it last week in Genesis 15. We'll just get that scripture ready in your Bible, Genesis 15. But as we were just looking at this slide, focusing on verses 18 through 21 in Hebrews 9, again, it required blood. It required blood. Without the shedding of blood, our sins could not be remitted. So all the way from the Garden of Eden, we see God use blood. When Adam and Eve sinned, they went and found themselves some fig leaves to put on. And, you know, after they got the fig leaves, they come into God's presence, but it was not accepted. The fig leaves were not accepted. God actually had to slay an animal, take the skin from that animal, and we believe it was the lamb that was slain, because Jesus was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. But he took the skin of that animal, he wrapped Adam and Eve, he just threw it over in the bush, told them to put that on. And once they were covered by the blood of this animal, then were they able to approach the presence of God. Once again, so even what we've been talking about, the tabernacle, and when the high priest would go in once a year, he'd have to sprinkle with blood, right? Their sacrifices before they even come into they come into fellowship with God. They out there in the outer court, they have to bring their sacrifices, and they have to identify themselves with their sacrifice by putting, you know, once the priest would, you know, kill the lamb or whatever it was, then the sacrifice would have to put their hand on that and actually feel the blood. They have to become a part of this, you know, just a part of this the sacrifice. They had to, I mean, it couldn't just be anything that they offered God. They had to feel this. It was their best lamb. It was one they raised. I mean, they were connected with this, you know, in some way. And it's the same way it is today, you know, when it comes to a confession of our sins, when we realize that without the blood of Jesus being shed for us, we would have no opportunity to come into the presence of God. We need to be connected, you know, to that. And we need to give our heart, our all and all when it comes to the sacrifice that he gave. We should not be afraid to give our all and all when we know he's given his all and all for us. Right. So it took blood to satisfy the penalty of sin. It took blood. Now God could have chose anything he wanted to. I mean, if he wanted to choose water to sacrifice the penalty of sin, he could have chose water, right? But what he decided to choose was blood. And we honor that. We honor, you know, whatever he decided, and we give our hearts to him the same way he gave his blood on the cross for us. So as we go back here in Hebrews, I wanted to just bring out, we read this last week, and Genesis 15. We read this last week, and I think, there's one quote there I want to read for you on the screen there. Hit next for me, please. this the prophet says, in the justice of law required blood, and the blood of sheep wouldn't do it, the blood of goats wouldn't do it, the blood of cattle wouldn't do it, but the blood of God himself had to do it. And God was made flesh, lived here on earth. That great thundering person on top of Mount Sinai was here in flesh then. All right. So back in the Old Testament, they had sheep, they had goats, they had all kind of things. And we mentioned this earlier in the lessons. The problem, people would bring their animals to God to sacrifice, but they left with the same nature and desire to do wrong. Right. What we need is more than just a sacrifice. We need a nature change. Right. We need a nature change. And that's why God promised to give us a new heart, a new spirit, and then also give us his Holy Spirit, because we need a nature change. Otherwise, we'll just go through the motions. We'll come to church. We'll do all those things that look appealing to the eye. But in our hearts, it's still not right with God. We want the nature to change where we fall in love with the Lord Jesus. Here in Genesis 15, let's go back and just look at that. I want to start at verse 7 here in Genesis 15. Genesis 15 and verse 7. Is that right? Yes. All right. Look at this. And this is the calling of Abram. God making a covenant with him. And verse 7 says, "And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. The birds divided he not. And that's going to be important as we go to this quote here in a second. The birds he divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of a great darkness fell upon him." And really what this is Brother Branham's talking about, this was a showing that without the blood of Christ, when man would die, they would go to, amen, a great horror, darkness, pretty much be hell that we would go to without the blood of Jesus Christ being shed and without us accepting that blood. All right, so here Abram is seeing this. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance." And we know what happened with them in Israel. I mean, in Egypt, they came out with great substance. "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces." So that burning lamp that passed between those pieces, this was a covenant where Abraham split the animals. And what would happen back in that day when a man makes a covenant, they split an animal, and they both, the two people that made the covenant together, they both walked through the animals, showing that, say, hey, if I do not uphold my end of the bargain, then let my body be like this animal. All right, that's the way they made a covenant. But in this particular situation, when God was making a covenant with Abram, notice the Bible says, "Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces." It never talked about Abraham passing through the pieces. It only talked about the burning lamp, which was the pillar of fire that passed through the pieces, showing that this covenant that God was making, he was not depending on man to keep his end of the bargain. God himself would have to keep his end of the bargain, amen, for mankind. Here in verse 18, "In the same day the Lord made the covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Cadmonites, and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaim and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. I want to just read a couple quotes on that. Again, going all the way back, we're going back to Genesis, pulling up this, because God required blood, amen. Even in that time of this covenant with Abraham, it was blood. I want to go at the slide 11, the quote on the unconditional covenant that God made with the people. I'll start reading there. It says, notice this. Then he told Abraham, he said, now he caused a deep sleep to come upon Abraham. In other words, Abraham, you haven't got nothing to do with this. I am going to do it. So Abraham went to sleep out of the picture. And then while Abraham was asleep, he looked, and there come a smoking furnace before him. Every sinner do and should go to hell. See, every sinner should go to hell. And then first thing was a horrible darkness, death, then a smoking furnace, hell. But beyond that went a little white light. I want you to notice God was showing Abraham Calvary. What he was going to confirm, this covenant between Abraham and Abraham's seed forever. Oh, this very night is just as good now as it was then. It says, and this little white light, which was God, went before Abraham through death, through hell, and come up between these sacrifices, went right between each split place. God showing Abraham Calvary. Abraham, he didn't say, if you'll do this or if you'll do that. He showed him what he was going to do for him and his seed after him. And we are Abraham's seed. The turtle doves was laying there for the healing and salvation. And he goes on to say this. Now, in the Old Testament, first men make covenants. So the covenant in Japan, the way they make a covenant with each other. Then they get a little bit of salt and sprinkle it on one, the other. One throws it back on the other one. That's a covenant. We in America, when we make a covenant, we reach out and shake one another's hand, say, shake on it. That's a covenant. That's a promise that we're going to do what we said we'll do. But in the Testament times, Old Testament, it says, in Abraham's time, the way that men made a covenant, he killed a beast and split it open and taken the covenant and walked up and wrote the covenant out, what it was, then tore it in two. One taking one piece and one another. When they come together, those pieces had to dovetail just like that. And they took an oath, if they broke that covenant, may their body be like the dead body of this beast that was laying under them. It goes on a little further. He says, what a beautiful picture of God making his covenant with the church. When Jesus Christ went to Calvary, who was God Emmanuel, God ripped him apart at Calvary. Tore the covenant in two, took the body up to his right hand, and sent the Holy Ghost back on the church. And the same Spirit was on Jesus Christ is in the church today. And the same Holy Ghost that was back there has to be the same Holy Ghost when we come together, making Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, it can't be a different Holy Ghost. What we see in Christ, we want to see in us. Amen. It's got to be the same Holy Ghost. And so it says this, and today we have the same baptism that they had on Pentecost. When our part of the covenant was thrown back, you believe that. We speak with tongues like they did. We prophesy like they did. We shout like they did. I say amen to that. We praise God like they did. We have signs and wonders and miracles just like they did. God's unconditional covenant with the Pentecostal church. Amen. There you are. Well, what you scared about then? Every divine promise in the book belongs to you, and you are a heir to it. Amen. There you are. See, the covenant was torn in two. God tore Christ in two. You believe that. All right. Now, I also just kind of mentioned as well that, we can look at God requiring blood from Adam and Eve. We can look at the cross where God required blood. We can look at this covenant that he's making with Abraham and with Abraham's seed. God required blood. But I also mentioned how during the Passover, when the death angel was passing through the land and God told Moses to tell the people to slay a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost, on the sides and on the door, it had to be on display. If your household wanted to be spared from death, it required blood, right? So all through Scripture, we can see where God's requiring blood. It was all a type showing that the blood of Jesus Christ had already been slain for us before the foundation of the world. But the only way that we could appease God's wrath is that we'd have to come underneath the blood of the Lord Jesus. All right. So here I want to just kind of bring in a little bit about the Passover. This quote in God's provided way says this: certainly God's provided lamb, God's provided sacrifice. So now wait, Moses, I'll make you a type. And he took the blood of this lamb, killed it in the evening. Notice all the elders of Israel had to witness to it. And they witnessed the death just as they did up there. They said, let his blood be upon us. And he died in the evening time. Jesus died at 3 o'clock. And they took the blood of the lamb with hyssop and sprinkled it upon the doorpost and on the lintel. Did you notice? Not on the floor. It's not to be looked down on, down to. It's to be looked up to. Right? Oftentimes, there are a number of people just why would God require blood? Why? They have that question. And, that's a really good question. It's what he required. That's really the only answer. God could have required anything. Brother Branham made the comment, says, the same way God required blood, he requires man to preach the gospel. God could have used the sun to preach the gospel. God could have used the moon to preach the gospel. But God's choice was to use man to preach the gospel, right? God could have used water, and say water's going to be the thing that's going to satisfy. Or whatever God wanted to do, that's what he could have did. But he chose blood. He chose blood. All the way from Cain and Abel, when they presented their sacrifice at the altar, the one that God honored was the one that came with blood. Amen. And it's still the same way. God honors the blood that was been shed at Calvary's cross for us. Thank God for that. It says, not on the floor. It's not to be looked down to. It's to be looked up to. And I'm reminded of a statement the prophet made. There was a picture that was made, and they were looking at it from a distance, saying, man, that's a horrible picture. That's a horrible picture. Who would paint something like this? And based on the angle that they were looking at it, they really couldn't see what the picture really was. So there was somebody standing there and was like, hey, you're looking at it the wrong way. So if you want to see the picture, you have to kind of get down on your knees and look up, right? And when they got down on their knees, they looked up. They could see it was Christ on the cross. They thought it was a horrible picture. But when they got down and looked up, they could see Christ was on the cross. And anytime you're looking at Christ on the cross, that is not a horrible picture. That's the best thing that you can lay your eyes on. The sacrifice that was made for your sins that gives you access to the presence of God. Thank God for that. So not on the floor. It's not to be looked down to. It's to be looked up to. And notice on the doorposts and on the lintel, perfect, the cross, there was the blood. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I see the blood, God's provided way. How are we going to escape the death? He said, I'll watch for the blood. And there that night out, and let's take a little drama. I could notice the father, of course, in the Old Testament was the priest of the house. Now he's the figurehead. Now he goes down and puts on the door and the lintel post. And then when it come about night, I can see all the young girls down there come out, tell the Hebrew girls, come on, we're going out to the dance. Why they say we can't go. We're under the blood. I like that statement, right? Here they're being encouraged to come out to the dance, but the girls, amen, the girls that are underneath the blood will actually say, no, we can't go because we're under the blood. Now, I would say this again today. If we're under the blood, we won't dance. Amen. We won't be going to dances, right? If we're under the blood, praise the Lord. We won't be going out to dance. He says, come on, we're going out to dance. Why they say we can't go? We're under the blood. Oh, my. If we're under the blood, we ain't going to be listening to music that make us dance. Right? If we're under the blood, things change in our life, right? There's a true conversion that takes place, and we don't even desire the things of the world anymore when we're under the blood. Amen. All right. It says we can't go. We're under the blood. What a type. We're coming, and God's provided way. Nonsense with that religion. Whoever thought that the blood would do anything, come on out, let's have a good time. But they stayed under the blood. God said, when you go under the blood, stay there. That's right. Not in and out. and in and out, stay there. After a while, it come midnight. And that's the same thing we've been talking about. When you get into that most holy place with God, stay there. Don't go in and out, up and down, up and down. Stay there. Stay in fellowship with God, right? It says, stay there. After a while, it come midnight, great dark roaring cloud come up. I can look coming back through yonder, and I see two big black wings spread out across the nation. Here it comes. I can hear the priest of the family, the father, say, there's the death angel sweeping the land now. Too late now. And directly, I can see him go dip down on into a valley. Here, a scream come up out of that house. The son was dead. Away he went. Directly, here he comes, right down to another house. Again, goes in. The black wings close in around the house. A scream comes up. The son is dead. I can hear the little boy say, Daddy, take another look. Be sure the blood's on there. Yes, sir. Says, I tell you, if there ever was a time a man ought to be examining himself, is right now, brother. Is the blood on the door, watching around and look good? Then the next thing you know, he kept watching for that little old fella, said, Daddy, them wings make me nervous. He said, son, be of good cheer. There's blood on the door. That's God's provided way. We're in his way. Hallelujah. Don't make any difference what the world says. We're under the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, so is it today of every man that's born of the Holy Ghost. Under the blood. Don't care what the world's got to say about it. Call you a fanatic if they want to. Long as you know the blood's applied. Amen. That was the only place of safety at the time that the death angel was going through the land. They had to be under the blood. And Brother Branham tells us that that token today is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't be satisfied with nothing short of it. Amen. And I want to also encourage you, don't be satisfied with just one filling. Have many refillings. Look for refillings. Every time you come into the presence of God, come to a prayer meeting, look for a refilling, right? You come to service on Wednesday, look for a refilling. You come on Friday, look for a refilling. Sunday morning, look for a refilling. Amen. Our tanks get a little empty sometimes. We need a fresh experience with God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We want to be under the blood, covered by his blood. All right, let's go on here to our next. Here, back in Hebrews 9, verse 22 through 25 is what we're focusing on now. It says, almost all things are by this law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. And the better sacrifice, or the best sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, was the blood of the Lord Jesus being shed for us. He only had to die once. But Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And I share with you all the scripture pertaining to when Jesus died. The temple veil was rent in two from top to bottom. And that most holy place was never the same again. They didn't need it anymore. Brother Branham, you know, gave us the type of how when the temple veil was in place, or the everything was in place, that the outer courts, inner courts, most holy place, it was only once a year that the high priest could go into the most holy place. Once a year, he would go in and atone for the sins of the people on the Day of Atonement, and he would go in. He'd actually have to have little pomegranates and bells on the bottom of his garment, and he had to approach it the right way, because if he didn't, they would tie him with a rope, because if he went in there and they didn't hear them bells ringing, they knew he died in the presence of God. So what they would do is just listen for the bells, because when he went in, actually, they could not even be in the inner court when he went into this most holy place. So they have to tie and just leave them in there. And when they hear those bells ringing, then they knew everything was all right. They knew God was accepting the sacrifice. Brother Branham said it was death for anybody that was outside of the high priest to go into that place. But after Jesus died, all right, and that temple veil was rent, now it's death for any of us not to go into that place. Amen. So where God wants to fellowship with you as an individual, when that high priest went in, it was him alone. He didn't go in with his family. He didn't go in with his spouse. He went him alone. And where God wants you to go is into that place with him alone. Forget about everybody else. Forget about everything else. But go into that place with God and God alone. Amen. It's death if we remain out. It's death. Here, little statement that the prophet makes here. Next for me, please. It says, not long ago, I seen a picture in a paper advertising Sinclair gasoline. Said that 1 gallon of Sinclair gasoline in a big enough motor could lift the Sphinx so high off the ground. I said, looky there, they're advertising that around the world. I said, and one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ will raise every sinner to a saint. Every sick person to health again. All right, because see what happened at Calvary, it was a dual atonement. It was an atonement for our sins. I mean, so we could come back in fellowship with God, forgiveness of sins, but also for the healing of our bodies. Amen, we could claim that. Because it's by his stripes that we are healed. I want to read a few things on this particular slide. There's a number of quotes that I want to read. And remember, the scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins, no forgiveness of sin. All the way back to Adam and Eve, again, God had to take an animal and give them the animal skin. And that blood is what appeased the wrath of God at the time and allowed them to come back in fellowship. When Cain and Abel offered their sacrifices, Cain offered fruit. Abel offered a bloody lamb. Cain thought it was crazy that he would offer this lamb, but God said, that's the one that I've accepted, right? And he didn't want fruit of the ground, something that he cursed, but he said, this is the one that I accepted. So all the way back there, we see it required blood. Without the shedding of blood, there was no remission. There was no forgiveness of sins. There had to be blood. Amen. Now, here in this message, the approach to God, it says, now the way to God made for Adam to approach. Now, watch, Adam made himself an approach. He said, now I've got to go out and meet God. So he made himself an apron, a fig leaf to cover up his shame. And he found out that God refused that approach. And today, if man thinks, now I'll help Mr. Jones over here. Now, this is a really good statement that the prophet is making. I know people that actually feel like because they do something good for somebody else that God's going to accept that. Amen. And they're going to have a free pass to heaven because they did something good for somebody else. No, that's not what God accepts. I mean, you do that because your heart, you got the out of the kindness of your heart. But what God accepts is the blood of his son, right? And you got to come underneath that blood. Listen, it says, and today if man thinks, no, now I'll help Miss Jones over here. She's a widow woman. She needs some coal. I'll give to the Red Cross or to some charity organization out of my abundance. I will join the church. You're only making yourself an approach that God will refuse. There's only one approach to God. Now, God refused Adam's approach, and then God went and made an approach for Adam. He made Adam an approach to himself, and by doing that, he slayed some sheep or something and got them some skins, and through the blood brought the first approach to the world to God for sin. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remissions of sins. That's right. Only blood can make the way. It goes on to say this. And God provided an approach there for Adam in the Garden of Eden, that through the shedding of the blood of the innocent to appropriate and approach to him. Now, and just think about that. There was an innocent lamb that was slain in the Garden of Eden, a lamb that did nothing wrong. But an innocent lamb had to be killed, and the skin of that lamb given to Adam, and now he could come into the presence of God. You find that in Genesis 3:21. An innocent lamb had to be slain. And what a perfect type, because we had an innocent lamb slain for us, right? And without the shedding of that blood, we could not come into the presence of God. Without the shedding of that blood, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight. We thank God for Calvary. Listen, through the shedding of the blood of the innocent to appropriate an approach to him, then Adam could once more come through the shed blood of the lamb to the approach and talk face to face again with God through the blood, through the approach that God provided for him. Now, that was God's first method of approach to himself for the people, through the shed blood. It has been from that day, all this, till this day, the same thing through the shedding of blood brings the approach to God. Now I'm going on. We're going to this message, Believest Thou This? It says, not long ago, I seen a picture in a paper advertising Sinclair gasoline. Said that 1 gallon of Sinclair gasoline is big enough, and a big enough motor could lift the Sphinx so high off the ground. I said, looky there, they're advertising that around the world. I said, and 1 drop of the blood of Jesus Christ will raise every sinner to a saint, every sick person to health again. That's right, and they'll make fun of you for teaching it, but I believe in the old-fashioned bloody gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe there's nothing else saved in the world. None of our psychology and all of our church joining and shaking hands and forms of baptism has nothing to do with it. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. You know, when I was coming up in the Baptist church, the way that they got you into the church, they, you know, put that chair out there and say, do anybody want to join the church? You never actually repented. You just went and sat down in this chair and shook the preacher's hand. That's not going to get you to heaven. Amen. You got to confess Christ as your Savior. First, admit that you are a sinner, right? Repent of your sins. And then once you've done that, now God can accept. Amen. God can accept your prayer or your request and then offer forgiveness through Christ. Amen. You know, and the reason that hell was created for the devil and his angels, but people are rejecting the sacrifice that God made on the cross for their sins. And that's the reason that they'll end up in hell, because they won't accept what God did for them through the cross. An innocent lamb died for their sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The blood of Christ that cleanses us, the life is in the blood. It's not in the church. It's in the blood. Amen. All right. I want to go on to this next sermon here, law. It says in the Old Testament, if a man done anything wrong, he had to come under the blood to be justified. Again, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. How beautiful, how striking that comes to us today. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, no matter what church you belong to, what denomination, what organization, how good a father or mother you had. It's an individual affair that every man or woman today, in order to be saved, doesn't have to study theology. They don't have to learn any certain kind of prayers. The only thing they have to do is accept the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that's been prepared. Then through the shedding of the blood, there comes remission of sins, or sins remitted. All right, a couple more here that I want to read. This is out of the message, The Token. It says, in the Old Testament, if a man done anything, it says, get the point now. The Jews, no matter how much they could prove that they were circumcised, but the token had to be showed. If not there, the covenant was not effective. It wasn't. Same now, same thing. No matter what you do, no matter how much you can explain the Bible, you might be a Bible student. Oh, my. You might say, I'm a believer in everything, but still the token is required. I love this. A Bible student, you say, I was a good person, Brother Branham. I don't care what anybody says. You can't beat that man. I never seen him do anything wrong in my life. That don't have that to do with God. There is one requirement, and that alone, and you cannot do that. You cannot put the blood on the lintel of the door where the token could not be. The token could not be unless the lamb died, and the blood was a positive sign that the lamb died. No make belief. The lamb died. It says, and the Holy Ghost is a positive sign a positive token that your lamb died. And you receive the token upon yourself. For his very life is now in you. Right? See, there's no make-believe. There's no put-on. There's no impersonation. It's there. And this is where we need to be, church. You know, this is something we don't want to impersonate. This is something we don't want to play games with. We don't want to just kind of come to church and just go through the motions. Man, the only way we're going to make a rapture is by having the token applied to our life. The only way that the death angel would pass over is that they had to have a token applied to the door. The only way we're going to make a rapture is having the token applied to our life individually. Amen. Individually. No make-believe, no put-on, no impersonation. It's there. You know it. You know it. The world knows it. The token is there. No matter how good the person was, might have been a Bible student, it might be any kind of good church member, it might be a good person, it might be a denominational head, it might be the hierarchy of Rome, I don't know who it is. It don't make it anything. It says, but Israel, any Bible student knows that Israel was a type of the church exactly to the promised land, and that's where she is journeying. But when the evening time come and the journey was on, there was one solemn requirement. No matter how much Jew he had been, how well he had kept his crops, how well he had taken care of the neighbors, how much he had done. See, all that, all them good deeds, that's not what we're talking about. That should just go along with it, right? But don't try to get into heaven just based on good deeds. Make sure the token has been applied. Listen, it says, no matter how much a Jew he had been, how well he had kept his crops, how well he had taken care of the neighbors, how much he had done, how good a member he was, how much tithes he paid. I love this. Because some people want to get in on through money. That's not it. It's without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And how we know your lamb was slain? Because it reflects in your life through the token being on display. All these things was fine. That was okay. He was a good man. Recognized among his people as a good man. But without the token of the blood, he perished. God, don't let that be our testimony. Amen. I don't want folks just to come to this church. And like I started out with when we hit the first few lessons. And we showed the outer court and the inner court. Or the holy place, then the most holy place. And a lot of times people come to that outer court and they get baptized and it looks real good, you know, to the outside. And people get so excited. Some still got baptized. A lot of times I like to question and find out what led you to get baptized. How is God dealing with your heart, right? Because oftentimes it might not be God dealing with the heart. It might be somebody else dealing with their heart, right? But I want to know how God is dealing with your heart. What is God doing? How is he? Do you recognize you were a sinner? You know, do you recognize your need to repent, right? So, you know, you start really working on all that, and then from there, okay, that's good that we got you baptized in water. Now we want to see you go all the way to get the Holy Ghost, because without it, you're not going to make it. This last quote that I want to read on this particular slide is going to talk about a man by the name of David Livingston. And David Livingston was a missionary who went to Africa and, you know, spent a great majority of his life in Africa just trying to get some of the people converted. And I was reading a little bit about him, say that the man spent all this time over there, but he really only got one person converted. But the person that he got converted happened to be like a chief of a tribe. And as he kept working with that man, eventually that man began to bring Christ to not only his tribe, but to a lot of other tribes. They said that whoever that chief of the tribe was, he actually did more missionary work than the missionaries that came. But now he was a man that David Livingston probably would have gave up on this man because, there in Africa, they had a number of things that they did. They practiced polygamy. and had multiple wives, and David Livingstone have to, you know, come back and show them, the scripture says you're supposed to only have one wife, and the man would act like he'd get rid of all his wives and then go right back to them, and just a lot of stuff that was going on that would cause David Livingstone to be really, really disappointed in this man. But after David Livingstone died, the seeds that he planted in that man came to fruition, right? They came to fruition. And, I learned as I was just reading that, just keep planting the seeds. God will bring forth the increase in his own time. But we just keep planting the seeds. Amen. Here, he says this, and now he's going to do something in order to win over the African people. David Livingstone had to do something that, I don't know if I know for myself it would have been tough for me to do. But let's read. It says, I'm studying not long ago of David Livingstone. When I stood at his grave in London, and more people visits Livingstone's grave than any other grave in Abbey. Then hearing the story of Livingstone, how that he went down there as a doctor and a Christian, how he went to the natives and he couldn't get in because they were mostly savage. So he got to the chief, and the chief said, if you will drink the blood of the covenant with me, then you will be one of us. So they got some wine and a cup, and they plucked each other's veins and held it over the cup and dropped the blood in there, mixed it up and the two bloods together, and then Livingstone drinking half of it and the chief drinking half of it. I tell you, you feel called to be a missionary and have to go through something like that, you'd probably be running right back home. But he was convinced that God called him, and he did it. And notice this. And then they gave one another an ensign that they were brothers. Oh, I love this. I mean, because it's a type here. What made them brothers is the blood. And that's what makes us brothers in Christ, is because we've all come through blood. And then they gave one another an ensign that they were brothers. And the chief asked for Livingstone's doctor coat. And he took his coat off and gave it to the chief. And Livingstone asked the chief then for his sacred spear. Now, you know, this is important, you know, the spear. I was told that, you know, there's a brother, you know, over in Africa. He's actually like the chief of a tribe. And he has a certain stick that he walks with. And when he walks into anywhere with that stick in his hand, everybody know who he is. Right? So this spear that David Livingstone had, he knew that this was very important, you know. And it goes on to say this, and when he went back into the jungles and the natives run after him, would throw a spear through him. How well he could feel when he lifted up this ensign, the sacred spear. And when he lifted it up like that, natives would fall on the ground and almost worship him as God, because they know that that's where that spear came from. So now, I say, now that's today. The people of today fail to realize the great ensign that God has given us. You say, Brother Branham, do you have power? I wish I had power. We don't have power. We're not to have power. We got authority. It's not a power. It's authority. We don't need power. Christ has the power, but we've got the authority. Amen. There's a lot of difference. He was the one who conquered. He conquered and gave us the authority. He's got the power, but we got the authority, just like any ambassador going to another country. And I just love this, because again, the scripture say, without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins. And as David Livingstone there, the way that he won, you know, the confidence of the people over, is that it had to go through blood. It had to go through blood. A very tight, what made them brothers is the blood, right? And I'm sure David Livingstone was able to take them further now to help them see that even in Christ, the reason that we're brothers in Christ is because the blood that was shed. And if you would confess your sins underneath that blood, and I confess my sins underneath that blood, we're one in Christ. We're one in Christ. Without the shedding of blood, no forgiveness. I want to, we'll stop there for tonight, and I'll just save, we'll probably have one more lesson in this, but there are some scriptures that I'll need to read, and I don't want to just run out, we'll run out of time tonight or try to rush through it, so I'll just save it for next week. But if I could just continue to impress upon the heart of all that hear my voice, let's go into that most holy place with God, going there alone, with God, making sure that that we're displaying the token, which is the Holy Ghost, that's on display in this hour. Without it, we're gonna fall short. And church, I don't want anybody here to fall short. I want to make sure I'm teaching, explaining it just right, so people understand what God is requiring. Amen. Repent. We're baptized, then we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't stop short. And once you get a filling, keep pressing in to many more refillings. It's necessary. It's necessary. Let's pray. God, I'm reminded of a quote where your prophet told us in the message on the Holy Ghost. It's absolutely essential, compulsory, Lord, necessary for us to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost now. He says, because without it, we can't come in the resurrection. Lord, my prayer is that we would experience an upper room experience here. It's there in the upper room. Every person was filled with the Spirit. That's what we need, God. Don't let us just come to church going through the motions. Don't let us, Lord, we can, like the prophet said here tonight, we can do good for others. We can pay our tithes. We can do all of that. But if we don't have the Holy Ghost, all those things just don't matter. That's not what you're requiring. You required blood to be shed there in Egypt. They had to take the blood of the animal, put it on the door, and they saw. The death angel knew that there was blood on the door. They saw it on the outside. It was there. A person could rest assured, that little boy could rest assured that everything was going to be all right because the blood was on display. And the token today is the very life of Jesus Christ abiding in us. If there's ever time, God, where we just look at ourselves and see, Lord, we're not measuring up. Lord, may we become more sincere with you, and Lord, just kind of lay ourselves on the altar before you, that you, oh God, would change us from the inside and that it would manifest itself on the outside. We all need to do our own personal inventory. We want you to be pleased with the lives that we live. God, get all the glory. Get all the honor. Get all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll prepare for